I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 657, Malignance.
No, Benign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, is that the sequel to Reminiscence? Yeah.
Benign would mean everything's okay.
That's true.
Everything's not okay.
People kept commenting online, is the sequel going to be called Benign? I'm like, I'm not. If you've seen this movie, I don't think the sequel is going to be called Benign.
You clearly don't know what malignant and benign means. Right. Like, someone at some point is going to go in for a cancer screening, and they're going to be told, oh, it's benign, and they're going to go home and like leave their wife and sell all their things. And then
they're going to be like, hey.
And then like, no, that meant it was okay.
Oh.
Oh, damn, I just quit my job.
Can I go?
I saw the sequel to that movie. They called it Benign.
Son of a bitch. That's why science is important.
Science is important.
In case the last 18 months haven't taught you anything. And just a lot of people out there, it hasn't.
No, it hasn't taught them anything.
Anyway, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page and join the group. The group is called the League of Show Sharers. One of the easiest and cheapest things you can do to help us out is share an episode. And so that's always super helpful, because if you like the show, people that you like are probably like you and they might like the show. So people who were kind enough to share an episode, this is over the last two episodes.
You got a big
end. I did remember to go back in time, so hopefully I got everybody. Here we go. Julianne Jordan, Chris Williams, Gabriel Lugo, Ralph Tribble, Tammy Sherman Powers, Heather Sachs, Michael Tonkovic, Ken Holtzhauser, The Movie Journey Podcast, Minorities Report, Kathia Woods, In Session Film, Colby Mack, Spoiler Piece Theater, Invasion of the Remake, Binge Movies, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd Podcast, Chris Wilson, Mike and Oscar, Ronnie Castle, Geek to Me Radio, Feel and Film, Matt Niglia, Brad, 1991, Suzanne Leist, I hope I said that properly, We Have a Hulk, I hope I said Hulk properly, Mitchell Bupre.
Oh, excuse me.
I hope I said Mitchell properly. And Podcast HQ. So thank you
very
much.
There's some new ones in there. That's great.
Ladies and gentlemen, and all points in between for sharing the episode. We greatly appreciate it. And we also have a Patreon. If sharing an episode isn't enough for you and you want to go the extra mile and know that we like you more, patreon.com/realspoilers, $5 a month. You get all sorts of bonus content and you help us fund things when they break. So.
And this is quite the month to be a Patreon member, so sign up if you haven't already.
If you haven't signed up and you're thinking about it, do it, because I am doing
a breakdown of all of the timelines of Halloween.
Yo.
So I have actually just recorded one that is in the can with the gentleman's name was Josh Bell from the Awesome Movie Year podcast. And we talk about the Rob Zombie ones. He was the first one to reach out. And he's like, can I talk about the Rob Zombie movies? And I was like, yeah, dude, because
nobody
else
wants
to. That's going
to
be slim pickings. So, yes, absolutely. So that's
in
the can.
One was okay.
I like the first one a lot. We both kind of get into the second one. He, I think, is a bigger fan of it than I am. But those that episode is in the can. So we're going to do Jason from Binge Movies is going to join me for the Halloween 1978-2018 timeline. Matt Basler is coming back to do the Halloween 1, Halloween 2, Halloween H2O, Halloween Resurrection, because he can't get enough of watching multiple movies in a franchise.
Sure.
He loves
he's
doing
a glutton
that.
For punch. So see, just so you know, he does that of his own volition.
He does. Yes, you're right.
We're
you're
not
right.
deliberately doing that to him.
That is correct. And Lindsay Washburn is going to help me try to make some sense of the like big timeline.
Gotcha.
So from the original one to Halloween 6. And so those are all coming once, you know.
And
we're
obviously
done.
The Rob Zombie Halloween, the original, his original first remake.
Yes.
Is the best in the franchise because.
I make this joke.
Because Mickey Dolenz
yeah.
is in it.
Yeah, Halloween's own Mickey Dolenz.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Wow. I just want to know why you record them in the can.
Where else am I going to record them? Honestly, I've got kids running around the house. Like, no. I can soundproof the can. Like,
fair
it just,
enough.
It
okay.
makes life a lot easier.
You know, a lot of NPR people actually record in their closet.
They do.
They literally go in their closet because they say that one, it soundproofs it, and that the NPR has that kind of special, unique, like resonance to it. And
that's
they,
fair. Yeah.
And they said that that when they're not in an actual studio, part of what helps them get that sound is the clothes that hang.
Oh,
in the closet.
Is that right?
Yeah, that it creates it, the way it muffles the sound gives it that
that's
that
smart.
Special NPR
when
style
they do their
resonance.
Their
yeah.
MailChimp ads.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. So good for so them. Yeah. So there's people at like the highest level. People sometimes the people on This American Life they're crammed into a closet. You know,
telling their story
that's going to get downloaded 2 million times.
Right,
well, that checks
right, yeah.
out though because we used to record in the closet. So.
That's yeah. we had a very small closet. Yeah,
yeah,
it was just us and a table.
Yeah. So, anyway, there's all that. I guess let's dig into Malignant.
All right.
This was awesome.
People seem to love this movie.
This was awesome,
and
this,
I don't understand why.
I look.
This movie was awful.
It
like,
was so ridiculous.
I hate to like.
Which was great.
I feel a little. Bad saying this because it's kind of judgmental of the people that like it. So sprinkle this with some grains of salt.
Sure.
But I think James Wan is a really good director.
James Wan is a brilliant director.
And I think he tricked people into thinking they saw a good movie.
I think he may have.
Because it's a good looking movie.
I don't think it's a good looking movie.
I do.
I think it's a very good looking movie.
And I think there's lots of great camera work and the effects are solid. And like it's a good jump scare delivery device if that's what you want out of a film. But the story itself... I'm just like,
here's the thing.
The twist everybody's raving about, in the first 10 minutes,
yeah.
I was like, oh, is it like a twin thing? Like,
or it's either the twin thing or she's a killer.
But it's not just a twin thing, okay? I mean, like, in when you saw the title of the movie, when I think malignant, I think of tumor. I don't think of evil, like the double meaning that it has. I think of tumor. So,
yeah.
I'm like, well, clearly this has to do with something with a tumor growing on. Like, I mean, I think that's obvious. The twist is how James Wan, coming off of Aquaman and these huge Conjuring movies.
Okay, now wait a second.
Hold on. Right. You don't even know what I'm saying.
Yeah, all right.
The twist is that James Wan made a B-level Italian horror movie with WB money and went insane for the last third of this movie.
That is fair.
Like, that is the twist. If that third doesn't win you over.
Well, I don't think to grasp a twist, I need to know the production history of the filmmaker.
No.
Like, I don't think that's a twist. I think that's just somebody like used their powers to make a movie they wouldn't have been able to make otherwise,
but,
which is fine. I don't care. But
that doesn't usually happen. I mean, I think the fact that we got this movie in the year 2021 and it was James Wan, who is a master of horror,
yeah.
a modern master
yeah.
of horror, and he gave us this Italian-inspired, like, this is a giallo film, which is basically, in Italian, that means yellow, because there were...
The colors
we
are...
We call dime store spinner rack romance novels
right,
or whatever,
yeah.
right? There, in Italy, the novels were all yellow. So giallo means yellow. And so this is a mystery crime suspense movie in the vein of those 80s movies.
They should have done some of the mystery and the crime and the suspense.
But they did. Just, that's what the detectives are doing the whole time about a murderer.
I guess to me, the mystery didn't work at all.
Oh.
And the suspense didn't work at all. Because I was just like, I was almost instantly like, oh, this is a twin kind of thing.
You predicted exactly the way the twin thing worked in this. You predicted it was going to unveil itself like that.
That it would have supernatural powers for no fucking reason?
No. I mean, but that's a lot of supernatural horror movies. I'm talking about the twin, quote unquote, revealed itself. You predicted that exact craziness how this went down.
No, but...
No one could have. That's what I'm saying. That's
okay.
But they did something original.
Oh, okay. It was a horse the whole time. That's a crazy twist I couldn't predict. Like, that doesn't make it a good twist.
Yeah, but I think...
I thought the ending was stupid. And I feel like they wrote the last 30 minutes and then they were like, how do we get there? And they didn't care about the stuff leading up to the last 30 minutes because all they cared about was the last 30 minutes. And for me, when they got to the last 30 minutes, I was like, but you guys know that this is stupid, right? This is she's walking backwards.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is dumb. And then it's like, oh, and it's in the back of her head. And I'm like, oh, like Total Recall, but her head. This is dumb. Everything that was supposed to blow my mind, I was like, but this is dumb. Somebody knows this is dumb, right?
But this is a B-level horror movie. Like, you
a
don't,
dumb B-level
but,
horror
but
movie.
But you don't like any B-level horror movies. That's not your thing.
I don't know.
Do you? I'm saying
you're not a horror guy.
I'm not a horror guy by nature, but like, I don't. What's considered B-level? I don't know.
But what I'm saying is that you don't watch a movie just for the kills and the gore and the schlocky writing.
I would think Friday the 13th post part one are like B level.
I don't even know if I've seen any of
those. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But like I've liked his other movies. I thought the first two Conjuring movies were great.
But those aren't this, right?
I thought Insidious was great.
Yeah.
Insidious 1 and 2 are really good.
The first two.
But it isn't this. And that's fine if you didn't like it. But what I'm saying is this taps into the 80s movies, the insane gore and craziness of the 80s movies in the past, but it's like two parts. It's like you have the giallo genre of the crime and the mystery and the detectives and everything, and then it goes into Bananaville, the rest of the movie. And so I think it's a combination of those two things that if you dig that type of movie, you're going to enjoy it. But if you're not into that stuff, then you're going
to
say, yeah,
so I don't think that's really, I think, so this is the thing, is to your point, is James Wan kind of pulled a Wes Craven where he reinvented the genre twice, right? Like he's the one, he and Lee Whannell created Saw, which created the whole torture porn.
He gave us torture porn.
Correct.
And then he took it back.
Yeah. And then he did it again with The Conjuring, where he gave us the ghost movie.
Right.
Like,
he
and
brought
the ghost
back
house
the,
and
those,
and
the quiet,
yes.
ghost,
yes.
creaky floorboards. Like
70s
like, yeah.
style.
Yeah. I mean, The Conjuring is, I mean, it's practically a family film. I mean, for real.
You're
like,
not
there's,
wrong.
There's, I mean,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I
like
see,
you,
there's
you,
no gore.
There's no gore to speak of. There's no sex. Like, you can watch that with a 10-year-old if your 10-year-old likes horror movies.
Yeah. We're not advocating, like, forcing your child to watch The Conjuring.
Right, but there's, but there's nothing, like, that weird you have to explore.
There's a scary monster, and that's it.
I mean, that's really all it is. I mean, for its day, it's no different than the 10-year-olds that watched Frankenstein back
totally.
In the 40s,
I think
right?
Insidious is the same way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so,
which is great that he can do both of those things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He and Lee Whannell have a brilliant eye and skill of horror, of getting the horror and figuring that out.
Because a lot of people were dismissive of Saw in that they were just like, oh, well, I mean, yeah, if you show me gross stuff, you'll freak me out, but that's not necessarily good filmmaking.
Right.
And so he's like, okay, well, then I'll do it the other way.
Guess what? Here's this bonkers-ass twist that we're going to throw, right? Like that twist at the end. I mean, I don't want to speak for Tom. Maybe he saw it coming in the first 10 minutes. I don't know.
Honestly, I've never seen Saw. The first Saw movie I saw
was
the
tell you
Chris Rock one.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh.
You
I
should
recommend
watch
the
first
one
because the first one, you know, it's like the reason why we get a million
sequels
first, is because the
first one's really good.
First one's
typically
really,
the first one and two are, the,
are both really
if
good.
If you know there's eight movies, you should probably watch the first of anything with eight movies because you're like, well, why?
Well,
they
he must have done something right.
We talked about that on that episode is you can't just jump in that franchise because they all tie back to like previous ones.
Yeah. Ask Matt Bassler.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So like, and you know, James Wan tried to get himself, or not tried, got himself out of the horror genre by, I mean, he saved the Fast and the Furious franchise. He had to fix, you know, he was tasked with putting that movie back together after Paul Walker died and finishing, making that movie work and finishing that movie. Then he came out and did Aquaman. And say what you will, it's not the best movie, but it's a big, fun action movie.
Aquaman is one of the best DC movies.
The bar is super low.
But they made a lot of them now, and yes, it's like, that's up right. there, Shazam,
I would agree. That is probably in the top
that's
three
or four.
That's a
comic book movie, right?
Yes,
like when you
it
talk
was a
about,
fun movie. Yes, yeah. And Jason Momoa was, but he was able to do that, right? And then he kind of started producing some stuff. I know he helped produce The Invisible Man, maybe, because Lee Whannell was a part of that. And
he wrote and directed it, yeah, Whannell.
Yeah, but I think James
Wan
was involved somewhere.
He was involved
in
that some, yeah.
And so when I see a new horror film by James Wan, maybe my expectations are too high at this point, right? Because he really hasn't missed. He has yet to miss critically or financially at the box office. This one, I feel... there are parts of this movie that I thoroughly enjoyed.
I think what it comes down to is that Insidious and Conjuring, and even Saw, from what I understand, even though I haven't seen it, they're so good that you will like them even if you don't like horror movies.
Yes.
And
they are transcending movies.
You have to love horror movies to like this movie. Otherwise, it's a big steaming pile of turd.
I think you're absolutely
right.
This
is a horror movie person's horror. And I'm talking about not just general horror, but again, the love of the Italian horror.
Not everyone who loves horror movies will love this movie,
yes.
but only
this
people
is a
who
very,
love horror movies will
a,
love this movie.
Yes. Yeah. This is a very niche movie.
Because this was dumb.
I think the
but
story...
movies can be dumb and enjoyable if you like dumb movies.
If and I do like dumb movies, but this
we've talked about them.
Yeah, but this is not.
But maybe not dumb horror movies. I'm just trying to.
I just like it didn't make any. It didn't make sense. The twist didn't work, and then when they
doesn't it work?
Because I saw it coming. Like it was on a highway in Kansas. I was just like, oh, it's a twin thing. It's
I'm kind of in the same boat though. Is I was like, it's a twin thing, or it's her split personality from whatever
I never even went down the split personality road because it opens showing us like there's another physical thing in existence that's being witnessed by other people. That opening scene of this movie, was so bad. I mean, so bad. Like however many O's you need to put on so bad. I honest to God thought they were going to pull back and show us that the characters in this horror movie were watching a horror movie.
I did. Like, yes. You're talking about like the VHS tape?
No, the opening
with the doctor.
Scene
where
with
the whole
1990s
like,
spooky
we're
hospital.
We're going to cut out the cancer. Like, everything about that scene was so bad.
I think it's tongue-in-cheek. I really think James Wan is such a good filmmaker.
Yeah.
I really, really think that this was his, like, you know, one for them, one for me. He made WB billions of dollars with Conjuring and Aquaman. I think he wanted to make a B-level 80s Italian horror movie, and he did it. And, like, I don't think you could be like, well, you know, he accidentally made a bad movie. He tried, but he's just James Wan. It's like, no, I think he wanted that opening to be schlock. That's what I'm saying. If you watch this like a... if you were watching a parody movie, you wouldn't go, well, that's bad. You'd be like, well, it's goofy and stupid, Austin Powers is stupid, yes, but it's funny. It's a comedy. This is horror parody. This is a horror 80s Italian slasher movie or whatever. Not slasher, but you know what I mean? I'm saying he wanted to make that movie just like he rebooted those others.
Sure.
He got to do his Italian giallo movie.
But here's the thing is when he didn't reboot like torture porn, like he created it and everybody just followed suit.
Yeah.
The 70s ghost movie.
But he rebooted.
From The Omen and all that.
This is James Wan.
Well, but there's always been like hyper gory movies. I feel like he took torture porn and made it mainstream.
That's fair.
That's
a fair thing to say.
Because there's always been those guys that'll sell you borderline snuff films out of the trunk of their car.
If you go watch the movie Maniac with Tom Savini and
there's some crazy gore movies out there. But so like James Wan obviously loves horror and he's so good at doing this that he can take these genres and he can become the guy. And I think this is just another one he tapped into his love of those type of films. And yeah, if you look at it on face value, you can say that's bad. But if you look at it as a guy trying to capture these type of films that he loves, I think he's recreating it in that feel of it and kind of an homage.
But to your point, though, do you think we're going to get another a rejuvenated giallo Frant? Like,
I think you might get Malignant too.
I think I don't know.
These movies are so cheap to make.
I guess that's fair.
It's
like,
kind of
also
it's pretty
hard
to
day,
fail.
It's day
with
and
them.
Date, right? Like this was theaters and HBO Max on the same day. Do we have a budget on this by chance? like out of curiosity?
I'm not sure. I'll look it up. I didn't see one.
But yeah, these movies, I will say that this one is definitely more effect heavy than anything he's done before, like with the dream sequences, which I thought were really well done. I thought that was a cool concept.
I thought that was
concept.
A beautiful transition.
I thought
those were
very cool concepts.
That was phenomenal.
I thought the weird skyline over Seattle was really bad. Like when it's like when they were just like showing the skyline of Seattle, then like, hey, can we throw some digital rain over that? Because it rains in Seattle, right? Like,
I didn't think it looked bad at all. I liked the look of it. $40 million budget.
I feel like that. I mean,
it's a good looking movie.
That's
$40
comparable,
million.
I think. For
this is a studio movie. This isn't.
Yeah.
This is a Blumhouse.
Right.
This is WB.
$40 million.
I mean, that can. Yeah.
That works. Like I think that's a reasonable budget. We talk about the inflating budgets that we're getting, and people are just getting hammered because it's not, you know, you're going to start losing money on like things like Black Widow and Shang-Chi and things like that.
Well,
but
Black Widow has just broken even recently. It had to make $400 million to break even.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, so that one's not losing money, but I mean, Jungle Cruise has made $200 million. It needs $400 million to break
even. It's not going
to
happen.
It's not, but but I mentioned it in the box office report on Patreon is that, well, but they know that we're in a pandemic. Like Disney's smart.
Sure.
Like, okay, green light a sequel. If this thing comes out in a couple years and stuff's better, it's going to make $600 million. Like,
hope, yeah, you hope.
It's
right,
that
right,
type
right.
of movie, right?
Right.
Like, it's The Rock. It's, yeah.
Yeah, it'll work. But yeah, so I just think this is, I don't know, like this, a lot of this didn't work. I thought the detectives were terrible. Like the two people
that
were. Not Wanda Sykes and the other guy. I will say that there
I liked that guy that
Kona
the,
or whatever.
Kikoa, yeah, I liked him a lot.
The main actress has like flashes where I was like, okay, like I'm with you with this character. But then when we go off the rails, and I was, you know, when she becomes like the suspect and she's in the jail cell, and then granted, it stops being her, right? Like it's this. So we're just gonna spoil.
I have to ask you.
Yes.
Do you like Suspiria?
Interesting question.
Because
this is gonna, like, I feel like I'm gonna get canceled for saying this. I think it's kind of boring.
Well, I think that's maybe I expect you to like this movie, and I think that answer explains a lot.
I think the visual parts of the giallo genre I think are beautiful.
Yeah.
I think Suspiria
is
a visually stunning movie. Yeah. I think the story with Suspiria is kind of like, well,
yeah.
Whatever.
But
know?
Do you think the acting in Suspiria is good? Would you call that good acting?
If I'm putting it on the level of like things that were coming out in that genre, I would say it's on the level
okay,
of things.
Okay, not genre, because you're not comparing this acting to the genre. You're comparing it to acting in general.
If I'm that's the problem though, right? Is because James Wan got such brilliant actors, and yes, Patrick Wilson is a brilliant actor, and everybody else and Rose Byrne. Like that entire group of Cary Yule, like those troop of actors are insanely
good.
Well,
those are names, and I'm not trying to insult these actors, but you notice when you look at this cast list and look at his last seven movies,
that's
like
true.
These aren't names.
No.
Those are names.
There is not a single recognizable face.
When you get
face.
Patrick Wilson, you're getting Patrick Wilson.
But
right?
Okay, so the Patrick Wilson in
he brings to a
but
role, yeah.
The Patrick Wilson we get in The Conjuring 1
yeah.
is not like he's still a young-ish actor. Right. Like I recognize him in The Conjuring because I was like, oh, that's the guy from this or that's the guy from that. But like post it's The Conjuring that kind of sets him on this A-list role.
Right. But let me back this out. He was always Patrick Wilson.
That's fair.
In Conjuring 1, you didn't know the Patrick Wilson, but he became Patrick Wilson because he's always had the Patrick
that's
Wilson
fair.
Factor.
That's fair.
So
and
I'm
he's
saying
apparently he's jacked to the gills, pun intended. Did you see that picture? See that picture of him
yeah.
as Ocean Master?
Yeah, he's
good
Moses.
Lord. Yeah, right.
It's like Moses, jacked Moses. But so what I'm saying is this:
so
that,
Darren Aronofsky's new movie.
If these people have it, then they'll break out and become the next
that's
Patrick
fair.
Wilson.
That's
so
fair.
I just mean that all his movies, you've seen this cast list. So this one I think is a bit more unknown. They don't bring that star quality, or at least none of them are really known yet, or if they ever will be. And so I think you have to take that out of the equation. I'm not saying that they couldn't be, but my point is, like, you're watching Conjuring. Oh, it's Patrick Wilson. It's Vera Farmiga. You've got these great actors.
Right.
So you have to take out the equation of any type of a
Who
name.
Who the hell were the parents? Who was it? Was the guy from Office Space and
I've never seen those movies.
What?
I think I mention this every couple of weeks, and I always get the same reaction. I've just never seen them.
Seriously. Yeah. Like, you can skip everything at, you can even skip two. Like the first one.
Talking about Insidious?
No, The Conjuring.
I watched Insidious.
Oh, yeah. The first one is phenomenal.
The
first
two are really good.
Yeah.
They're so good. So much better than all the spinoff stuff. Yeah. You will understand why these spinoffs work because people keep hoping they're going to get movies as good as those first. Wow.
Seriously, do yourself, like, if this Halloween, if you have time, knock out 1 and 2 and Insidious 1 and 2
because
you have to watch those back to back because they play off each other. Yeah. But they're so good.
I watched Insidious. I mean, that was a couple of years ago.
But no, The Conjuring 1,
Have you not seen Insidious 2?
I think I started watching it, but we never finished it.
You should. It pays off.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Pays off. Yeah.
Even 3 and 4 aren't terrible, but they go, it's like a flashback one, and they do with the Lin Shaye character.
But I don't think we should spoil it yet because the way this movie plays out, I really don't think we should spoil it up front in case people are listening that actually haven't, because it's such a crazy reveal.
It is such a crazy.
I think we should spoil it.
It is like there are movies like Basket Case or like I heard somebody describe it as like Cronenbergian.
This movie?
Yes.
The
reveal.
Yeah, well, like, that's what
is
I think.
Very much, I was like, I can get on board with that.
I think the first two-thirds of the film are the Giallo type of homage, and I think the last third is, like,
it's a Cronenberg. Yeah.
Or De Palma, or, you know, like, a little more.
Cronenberg was always really good. If you've ever seen Videodrome or The Fly, like, he is kind of the master at grotesque
the gross horror.
Body horror. Yeah. Like, body violence and body horror. And I think the last third of this is like, oh yeah, I kind of want to do both. So yeah, so this movie, we open, like Tom said, we open on like a
1993
in an operating room in the haunted mansion, or the Tower of Terror is where we are in this one.
It's a haunted hospital.
Right.
It really is just like, you look at this hospital and you're like, yeah, that's creepy hospital. Yeah. If you want creepy stuff to go down, you go to creepy
you
hospital.
You go to the hospital up on the cliff and the lightning bolt behind it.
And you park on the edge of the cliff to get there.
Why didn't I think of that?
Which I just love the imagery of it.
I will say, I do like the haunted hospital on the cliff. Is money.
It's
like
beautiful.
That sells. I love that.
I can't believe you didn't love this movie.
I did. And I also, like, I have watched it twice. Yeah. And I was like, maybe I just wasn't in the right mindset the first time.
I watched all the reactions of everyone else around.
Yeah, and I was like, maybe I messed up. Maybe I missed something. I'll give it a second watch. And I was like, nope, sure didn't.
That's okay.
Yeah, see, I was instantly like, they're all wrong.
Yeah. So basically we see this doctor saying, we've done everything we can. There's nothing else we can do. We're just going to cut the cancer out. And you see, like, behind, like, a screen is, like, this weird deformed thing.
Yeah.
And you don't really know what it is. Then we flash forward to present day.
It looks like a Cronenberg type.
If you've never seen early Cronenberg,
this creature looks like this just deformed, crazy monster.
Go watch The Fly.
Like a demon, like an old practical effects demon type.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know, type creature. Yeah.
We flash forward and our main character is pregnant.
Madison,
and she's living with her.
Or Maddie, I guess maybe she goes.
Scummy husband who, like, you know, this is very kind of stereotypical where she's kind of the meek and mild battered wife and he, you know, is the drunk who is like, you know, whatever. And they get into an argument and he takes her by the head and slams her head into a wall. And then all hell starts breaking loose.
So she's pregnant.
She's
pregnant.
And
he, like, I think he hits her, kicks her in the stomach.
I don't
and then
remember.
Slams her head.
Like, I think he does something and she says,
Oh my God, she's pregnant. Like, I didn't.
She might grab him and say, don't touch her. Like,
I think
in reference to the baby.
I think he hits her in the stomach.
Maybe.
Like, punches her in the stomach and then smashes her. I just remember, when he
grabs her in response to her saying, don't you touch her. And then he slams her head into the wall. And she's busted up and she locks him out of the room. And now this is the first look at this creature. Like, whatever this is, it kills the husband, and they assume that it was a home invasion.
And this was some good, like, almost Paranormal Activity. Like, when you see, like, the blender's going, the fridge opens, I thought instantly of that.
I enjoy, like, he's really good at the haunted house.
Yeah.
James Wan is a master at the misdirection.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's really
good. You think it's this and then you look over there. Like,
sound design, he's also really good at that. The first Conjuring has some of the best sound design and misdirection you will ever see in a ghost house movie.
Because I thought, this is creepy. Like, when they're going around that house.
And that's kind of where I thought we were going with this. Like, I saw the first trailer that kind of looked like maybe, wasn't there a De Palma movie where they were seeing the killer? Like, it was like a psychic thing. Maybe I'm wrong. I thought there was a De Palma movie.
Carrie.
There was a, thank you. Oh, yes, it was
Raising
Carrie.
Cain.
Maybe, but like they
the chicken fingers.
Yeah, they're great. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had to put them on the bread?
I really think they're overrated.
I think for the price,
I think for the price,
specializes
yeah.
in chicken fingers.
Right.
I thought those chicken fingers were going to be next level, and I was just like, I mean, they're okay.
You're paying for the cane sauce,
I don't want the.
It's a food court. It's like
it is exactly
you would get them
court.
At the food court. It's yeah. the same. But they're just, good, but not yeah.
Yeah, that but, bread though, all day.
Is it like Texas toast.
Oh yeah,
I love Texas toast.
It's the best. It's the best.
I haven't had bread since March.
That's dumb.
Well, I'm down almost 40 pounds.
Yeah, it's not so dumb then, I guess. yeah, so she wakes up and the neighbors heard like violence in the house, so they call the cops. We're introduced to not Wanda Sykes, who was also like this woman is playing this character, this cop. Very stereotypically African-American. And I was like, why? Like, can't you just be?
I guess as it was written that way.
I guess. It just felt weird. She's the one who, I guess, took the F-bomb budget. That's like every word out of her mouth was the F-bomb.
I mean, yeah, it does seem like a character Wanda Sykes would play, but I thought she was pretty funny.
See, that's the thing, though, I found no humor in it because it just everything felt like a caricature of everything.
Yeah.
Right? Like, these felt like two caricature of cops.
Everything just came out of central casting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird because at first I liked the imagery of it, and then I thought, oh, this is really bad writing.
It is.
And then, but as I watched the movie, I'm like, oh, like I took it as more of the homage. Like once I got past the first and I kind of saw what was going on here, something clicked to me where I just was like, oh crap. And then by the time the movie was over, I mean, jumping ahead, but just when it was over, I'm like, holy crap, what a ride. Like I had fun with it.
Sure.
So something at some point in the movie, after I saw that this is how the whole thing is written and how the people are acting, I'm
did
like,
you smoke?
This seems, no, this seems familiar. I'm like, this seems familiar though.
Did you drop acid before you
No.
There's no carbs in it.
Yeah. Right.
So, unless it's an edible.
Then well, it's different. Yeah. Depending on what it is. Yeah. Yeah. So then these killings start to happen and you're not really sure what's going on. We're flashed to who we find out is the doctor from the video in the beginning. She's murdered. Another doctor that we see, he's murdered. And at this point,
so we find out the murders are all they're happening.
All they're all connected
to people that worked at Spookyville Hospital.
Spookyville Hospital. Yeah. Correct. Correct. And we find out that like, that's the problem is like they're, You want to roll with this detective story, but they keep throwing like weird.
Like what?
Like all of a sudden, Maddie is like, "Oh yeah, I have this weird imaginary friend, but he's not imaginary; he's real." So then they get these weird flashbacks of
which I love. I just have not seen stuff like this. Usually, it's like, "Well, yeah, it was the imaginary friend," and oh, it was really her because they were tricking her to do stuff. But it's like not real, not like this. You know what I mean? Like I love how original. These twists
it's, a,
went
it's original like the twist is original. I will give you that. Like the when they get to the reveal of the thing of the twist, that is original. We've seen movies before where it's just like, hey, why'd you throw that? Why'd you smack your brother? And like, I didn't. Like, it wasn't me. Like, we've seen that before a billion times.
Right, right. I know, but that's what I mean though, is that you think they're going for the oh, is it really her because she had an imaginary friend and she that hospital was a mental hospital and she's doing these murders like she is in Maddie.
Who directed that movie Sisters with Margot Kidder and is that De Palma? Where it's like they're
I
like
not, I don't
seen
know
that one.
I almost there was a movie called Sisters with Margot Kidder and somebody else and they were well what's the correct word? Conjoined twins.
Okay.
And one of them was the good one and one of them was the bad. The Simpsons did a Halloween episode about this where they had the bad Bart locked up in the attic. Remember where
okay.
Bart had a twin? They're like, that doesn't make any sense.
They,
if I had a twin, I'd have a scar here. Like, ah!
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
But they get
were
it mixed.
Conjoined
they, yeah, they get, but
point,
they get
yeah.
it mixed up and like yeah. they think that, you know, they flip it. I'm yeah. almost positive there's a De Palma okay. movie with Margot Kidder called Sisters that is kind of that.
Yeah.
But like, so that's the thing is like he's taking for a guy that has been fairly original this entire career to like piece the, this movie feels like it just like Tom said, it's pieced together and it just doesn't like, they're just throwing stuff in there and be like, oh yeah, by the way, she was adopted. Oh, by the way, she had this thing. Oh, by the way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a 1972 film directed by Brian De Palma, focuses on a French Canadian model who separated conjoined twin is suspected of a brutal murder witnessed by a newspaper reporter in Staten Island.
Yeah.
I love
this.
Was it good?
De Palma. Yeah, it's Brian De Palma, you know, in the 70s. So, yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And once he gets to, like, 86.
So
was off the rails.
Like, Dressed to Kill was probably his last really good one, right?
Ooh. I mean, I like Raising Kane.
I've never seen
The Untouchables.
This looks cheesy. Oh, and I always forget Scarface.
Body Double.
Bah, so good. Love it.
I didn't like Scarface.
Really?
Yeah.
That's right. Really? Did you like the original?
Yeah. It was just, I don't know, it was too much.
I get it.
It was just over the top.
I mean,
kind of cheesy.
He literally throws cocaine into his face and then takes a rocket launcher. So I get it. That makes sense.
We should mention, so she has a sister.
Yeah, she
And
yeah.
The sister says that you lost the baby. And we learn that she's had three previous miscarriages, and she was really hoping that this one would, you know, she would
and
finally
she was
have a
like
child.
Far along. Like, this wasn't
it was like 7 or 8 months. So she made it really far along, and so she kind of doesn't talk for 2 days. The detective comes and questions her. She won't talk.
We see this Jane Doe get abducted from this weird underground.
Yeah,
thing.
So it was like, I thought this was kind of cool. I wanted to ask one of my friends who lives in Seattle, but they said that, like, the old city, instead of, like, knocking it down and building and rebuilding the city, they just built on top of it. So they were doing an underground tour of a city.
Oh,
like that
is
was
that, what
that,
that
was a
was?
City, like the original city, and then they built on top of it at the level that now people live.
That seems
and
dangerous.
I'm like, that'd be kind of cool though if that's a real thing. And you see storefronts and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they would just make it up for the movie. That must be a real thing. It seems like a weird thing to James Bond to be like, yeah, we're in a city and they built on top of the city. Like, why for a throwaway thing in a movie?
Sure,
that'd be
sure.
Really weird thing to invent. But
that's totally fair.
So we see her abducted, and it was interesting. I was watching this with Ryan, and we're like, wait a minute, is that Maddie? Like, they did a good job of making her look like Maddie.
They both look very similar.
Because
the Maddie and
just the same haircut, like, I'm like, is that her? And
their
I'm like,
faces
no, she looks
are similar.
Older.
Right.
But it made us question it, so I thought the casting was really good.
Yes.
And we'll get into that more, but they look similar.
Yeah.
There's a connection.
There's a reason. Yeah, so Bill Speedle's underground tour is Seattle's most unusual attraction, a humorous stroll through intriguing subterranean storefronts and sidewalks entombed when the city rebuilt on top of itself after the Great Fire of 1889.
Look at that. And that's just off the top of your head.
Yeah.
I was like, if I was in Seattle, I would totally do this. A 75-minute guided walking tour begins beneath Doc Maynard's public house, then spills into historic Pioneer Square, Seattle's birthplace, before plunging underground for an exclusive time capsule view of the buried city.
That's so cool.
When I watched it,
that was my takeaway. I was like, I want to go to Seattle and go to the underground city. That's cool.
That'd be pretty cool. So now these murders are happening.
So here's the deal, too, real quick. So I want to put this out there. So we're trying to figure out what's going on here, and we see the hospital, and so you kind of, and the movie's called Malignant, and you're like, well, it's got to do with, she's got to have a twin, she's got to have a sister. She tells her sister in the movie that I thought I'd finally have a blood relative. And then the sister looks at her what the? And she's like, Mom didn't want to tell you, whatever, but I'm adopted. She told me before she died.
But
and so,
Mom's alive.
Or something, whatever.
She
didn't want to tell you. I guess she's older, whatever.
In a wheelchair for some reason.
Yeah, so she's like, I'm adopted. And so that comes out. And so you're thinking, okay, she's adopted. We saw the hospital thing. There's clearly a connection between these things. But then you're like, but wait a minute. It can't be her because we see the other thing. We see its face. We see, like, I think they do a really good job of the red herrings in this because you're like, we've seen the killer. Later on, the police officer fights with the killer. We see it. So,
yeah, and it looks like her. Every time you see the thing killing somebody, it looks like her. It's got the long hair. It's the same build. The way the movie plays it is making you think that Maddie is in place A and this thing is in place B. But what we're seeing is Maddie is in a dream state.
I've never seen someone get locked away in their other minds.
We watched Inception. It's the same thing.
Yeah, but I'm talking about in a horror movie.
I was like, or Reminiscence. We just
watched. No. I'm not talking about memories. I'm just saying that the way that someone, it's hard without spoiling it, but we're almost there. So my point is, what's really cool, I think, about the misdirects is you keep seeing the killer, and you see they have this grotesque demon face that's clearly a grown-up version of...
That somebody sketched and did a great sketch.
Yeah, Sloth from the Goonies.
Sloth from the Goonies.
Say that. WB, right?
I got to tell you, I don't think you can say that. When I heard that line, I was like, I don't know if Sloth has been canceled yet.
Yeah, I don't know if he can, but yeah. they did. Here we are.
Yeah.
So I think it was really a really good misdirect of how you keep seeing this creature that clearly looks deformed and everything, like the creature in the beginning,
sure,
that you don't know what this demon thing is. And so you're like, yeah, they're killing them. Obviously, if it were her, you would tell it's not going to be Scooby-Doo. Like, this thing is a real... has some real stuff going on. They just pulled up a mask and it was her.
Scooby-Doo is good.
Well, the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so these murders are happening, and Maddie is telling the cops, she's like, it's going to be this person. This person's dead. When she's into this dream state, it's a very cool effect, an effect I haven't seen before, where, like, the real world kind of does, like, an old-timey film and, like, burns and breaks apart, and then she's somewhere else.
It was a unique effect.
It was a very cool effect. I liked that a lot.
I think we've seen similar effects of surroundings building around them, but, like, the way it was done was unique. I've never seen it just like this.
That
was really cool.
I did as well. So the cops are talking to her, and they basically are saying, we're taking you into custody because you keep telling us everything, and then these things keep coming
true. Well, here's the deal. She only gets taken into custody after they're at her house examining her about the next death that happens. And then the kidnapped woman falls through the roof.
Weren't they walking out with her in the beginning? I guess maybe they weren't. Mm-hmm. Okay. No.
But they're talking in the house.
This woman is, like, tied up in this creepy attic.
Yeah.
And then she gets herself free, and she ends up falling, and she falls through the floor. And then which I thought was a good transition that I didn't see coming, honestly, where she falls to the floor and then falls through a table where all of our characters are. And they're just like, you're under arrest for the kidnap of this woman, by the way.
I never expected that to be her. Did you, Tom, think that was going on upstairs?
No, I didn't.
That was a good transition.
Because
they cut back and forth to the woman at certain points, then the house, and you're going back and forth. You never realize they're the same place.
No, I did not.
So she crashes through, and even though, like, she tells the detective, like, you saw the killer, you fought with them, you know it's not me, but they're like, well,
You got a creepy woman tied up in your attic.
And they go
Maddie,
in the attic and the weapon.
There's the weapon.
Which was a trophy given to the doctor of the hospital.
The first doctor, yeah.
It's like a sword upside down and a thing, and they take
that
the
base
off.
That she apparently does the Army of Darkness style and transfers into a weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just put that out
and
there.
And so all the trench coat, the weapon, everything is found in the attic where the woman was locked up. So, like, we've got to take you.
Yeah.
And, like,
you're going to jail.
And the detective is questioning it, like, he doesn't know what to believe, because
wants to hook up with her with her adopted sister.
But meanwhile, James Wan's wife wants to hook up with him.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that who that is?
The CSI is James Wan's wife.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's funny. I didn't realize that.
Well, I think worked on the script with them. So this movie was written by James Wan and two women, which I think was kind of cool because of the places the script goes with. She even says it, like, it's always been my choice. You know, they put my body, my choice, kind of thing.
Yep.
And I think that's helpful that, like, James Wan probably didn't write a majority of this. I think he probably.
So do me a favor. Look at James Wan's movies and see how many Lee Whannell wrote.
Okay.
Because I know he was a writer on Saw. I'm almost positive he was a writer on, like, Conjuring and Insidious. I don't think he wrote Fast 8 or Aquaman.
I don't think anybody wrote Fast 8.
That's probably true. No, Fast 8 wasn't bad.
Oh, yeah, so James Wan did the story, right? So all the dialogue and stuff that has to do revolving around the women and
which,
miscarriages and all that. I think coming from a female perspective...
A male cannot write those... male cannot write about the female perspective on issues like that. You know what? A female perspective in general.
He did screenplay on Conjuring 2.
Okay.
He did story on almost everything. So,
well, story is like, hey,
here
are these two characters that I wrote in the first one.
Right. Well, no, but Lee Whannell did the story of Saw as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't think James Wan does a lot of straight writing. You know what I mean?
Probably comes up with an idea
comes
and says, hey, go write that. But Lee Whannell also did, I think he wrote Upgrade, which was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wrote The Invisible Man. And now he's been given the keys to the Universal Monster Kingdom. Like, he's doing all kinds of stuff for them now.
So Akila Cooper and Ingrid Bisou, who is his wife, the latter, wrote the script.
Gotcha. So they're in jail, and Zoe Bell shows up in this movie. Zoe Bell, who is Uma Thurman's stunt double for Kill Bill. She's the one with, like, the mohawk and the blonde. She's the gal from Death Proof who gets rides on the front of the car, which is a fantastic sequence. I know a lot of people don't like that movie, but that sequence of her on the front of the car is amazing.
Worst Quentin Tarantino movie, but I know it's got Kurt Russell, so it automatically has to be.
No, it's great.
Yeah.
So she's they arrest her. They put her in this jail cell. And while all of this is going on, the adopted sister goes back to the mom, finds the adoption certificate, goes to the hospital.
Okay.
I got to tell you, that hospital, old timey and creepy, immaculate record keeping. Found that box immediately.
Right. But it was in a creepy, dirty basement in like old storage totes. Like,
Do you really think the record keeping of an old timey, creepy hospital's basement is going to be so articulate and immaculate that you could be like, duh, 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 there it is, and pulls it out and finds it within 3 minutes.
This is Spookyville Hospital we're talking about here. I don't know what hospital you're talking about. But,
sorry.
But this person also controls electricity and can tap into cell phones. Like, I mean, we're also talking about a supernatural crazy movie. So I'm not going to pick it apart for that of all things.
That was ridiculous.
Like, movie.
Yeah, right.
Movie. This is just
ridiculous.
So in real
life,
I didn't need
30 minutes of them tracking down records.
So she gets the records, and what I think is really cool about this, again, like twisty and turny, is like, okay, you know, it has something to do with the Maddie, with the main character. You know that the demon thing and her have some connection. They both were patients at Spookyville Hospital. But when they show you the videos and she's talking to Gabriel, who is what they call this demon creature, and that we've heard the creepy voice, it can like call telephones and it can.
I did think the possession, quote that, unquote, right. of the telephone. I was like, I could see like that's creepy.
You can see a parasitic twin doing that.
Well, if okay,
in a crazy supernatural.
There's nothing supernatural in this movie.
But the powers are.
But they're not though. Like, to me, supernatural are ghosts.
They never
demons.
Give us any this reason is, for this to be supernatural other than it does stuff.
This is not supernatural.
Like, parasitic twins don't inherently have supernatural powers. So if this thing has supernatural powers, then they need to address the fact that it's more than just a parasitic twin. And they never do.
They never do. Like, to me, a supernatural occurrence is a ghost or a demon or a witch or something, right? Like in The Conjuring, they give you a backstory.
Yeah, if it's a ghost,
I'm
like, okay, then some sort of powers are baked in. And when it talks to me through an old-time radio, even though it's the present day, and anybody, any other 30-year-old woman would be Bluetoothing her Spotify playlist.
Absolutely.
But okay, she's listening to the radio, wink, wink. But yeah, like they're not.
You don't like just powers for power's sake.
Well, no,
it can't be just crazy.
But don't label this as like a ghost movie.
But a parasitic twin, I mean, that's a real occurrence,
right?
And but they don't have supernatural powers. So if this thing's gonna have supernatural powers, then I need a reason as to why. Like they point to like, oh, it was a parasitic twin the whole time. Okay, well, but that doesn't explain anything.
It doesn't explain
why it has supernatural powers to talk to through the radio like Bumblebee, and why it doesn't explain why it has super strength and jumping ability. It doesn't explain. Yeah.
It doesn't explain. So like in the Conjuring movies, right? Like we are introduced to a character played by Lynn Shea, and she's like a medium. So like, it's established that she can talk to these things in the other world, right? Where in this one, this thing, whatever this is, and we're about to get to what it is, like all of a sudden it has like mutant powers. It has like,
it always did from the beginning of the movie when it was young.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
But I guess for me, the movie just gets so bonkers that I enjoyed
this. This is where it's
going to
go off the rails. But, here in a second.
So I just like, I get what you're saying because that totally makes sense. Like to me, sometimes I don't care about the explanation if the movie is enjoyable or fun enough to where I'm like, okay, that's crazy. Because we watch a lot of quote unquote bad movies that are fun, and you're just like, well, I was entertained. It was silly, but like,
I think that's the difference, though, right? Is I wasn't entertained.
Right. If you're not entertained.
Until this point. Like when we get to here, I was like, what just happened?
Yeah. So what I was saying, back it up for a second. So she's watching the videos that were recorded at the Spookyville Hospital.
Right.
And you see that like, oh, this little girl there's something off. And then you see home videos that the mom plays, the adoptive mom. And she's like talking to this Gabriel Gabriel. Gabriel, yeah. And so she's talking to this thing, and it's
the
like
cat from The Crow.
She has almost it's like a possession. You think for a second, it's like, oh, this is some kind of possession thing.
Yeah.
God, it must be her. But then again, you're thinking, well, we've seen the creature, we've seen the face and all this. It can't be her, right? And so I love that they continuously give you this fake out, and they also get into this kind of demon possession exorcist type of, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. So they keep playing that up, and you're like, well, this is really creepy, and the way she's talking by the Christmas tree to Gabriel, saying, and then, you know, like, I'm like, this is freaking weird.
Yeah, when they get to, like, you know, I did enjoy the scene where we see her as a kid getting sent to her room because somebody damaged the mom's, it was the baby's cake, right? Like, it was welcome baby girl or whatever. Goes into her room, is on the phone with Gabriel, and she's like, oh, you just want to cut a piece? Okay. Yeah. And like goes downstairs,
and they do the mind
and
thing.
And she's going to cut a piece of cake. And this is kind of the reveal.
And that's
where
you,
what's happening.
You're like, whoa, wait a minute, hold on.
Right.
She just mind warped herself to it. So you're like, wait, we've seen
like
this
in the,
before.
In the dream state, she's cutting a piece of cake. When we cut back to the real world, she's about to stab her mom in the stomach.
Yeah.
And it's like,
and this is the sister, the, you know,
yeah, the baby sister.
Her sister, who she's just a little older than, you know, she's going to be born right there. So we see all this play out, and you're
well,
like,
not right there. They're going to take her to the hospital.
Well, yeah, but you
naturally,
know, fast forward. It's
right,
a movie.
Yeah. She's going to give her a C-section.
Yeah, that's what she's
that's
just
right,
trying to be helpful,
right, yeah.
right?
It's a super small scar. You'll be just fine.
Yeah.
So as they're watching these tapes, the camera in the tape pans around, and it is like, oh, there's a thing on her back. Like it's like Voldemort from the first Harry
but
Potter.
But don't we get the reveal in unison with the cell? The cell thing
no,
because
we get the whole, like, we get, oh, maybe.
I think the cell is the reveal.
No.
It's like simultaneously, it goes, like, they're watching the videos, and then they cut back and forth. I think it's the exact
maybe
same
you're right.
time.
Maybe you're right.
But we see, so we're like, wait a minute, and it's cutting back and forth, and in the cell, these people are kicking her and stuff, and then she, like, gets up.
She hulks out.
In the back of her head, who continuously through the movie,
her head does bleed.
The wound never stops bleeding. And that's where early on I was like, oh, well, if it's a twin thing and they were attached at the head, like I didn't quite get it, but I'm like, oh,
sure.
It has to be a twin that was attached right there.
Like
why
sisters.
Is this wound? Yeah. So then it reveals like you see the transformation.
From this point on. What I thought was going to happen for real. So Maddie reaches back, grabs the back of her head and like pulls her head open. And here comes this little
demon
face comes like poking out. It's like, nah. And then she like
and then
turns,
dislocates her.
Yeah, her body like turns around.
And she
it's almost
walking.
Like the Crooked Man. Like it moves like if you've you haven't seen the Conjuring movie, that doesn't help me at all.
But I know what that is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she just starts destroying it. Which I got to tell you, this is the biggest jail cell I've ever seen.
Like, yeah,
there's a lot of room in that jail cell.
What's
which,
a holding tank? I'm just saying it's not a jail like a jail square cell.
They're
it's
not
a,
that big.
Okay.
Let me tell you that right now. And just starts demolishing these women. And I don't mean
but
like
we're talking about,
I'm gonna break your neck here. I mean like I'm gonna tear your face off. I'm gonna stomp. Like it reminded me of Drive a little bit.
Yeah.
Where like
she takes the throat, she grabs the throat, and pulls it off.
Sonny Chiba all day.
Yeah.
That's you know, that's great.
R.
Stomping on unfortunately, sad day. Hattori Hanzo. Stomps it on people's faces. Poor Zoe Bell. We assume she gets dismantled. We don't really see what happens. I thought we were going to get her coming through the cell.
That's what
I thought we were going to get too.
But this is all happening as this creature is backwards.
Yes.
With Maddie's face,
which is unnerving. It is because it is. I agree. Like this last third is just stupid bonkers.
Yeah.
It is like when we talk about Cronenberg.
It's bananas.
It is Cronenberg. This is Cronenberg. Yeah. Like turned up to 11.
It doesn't stop.
This is Cronenberg with a budget, and I think The Fly probably had a budget because those special effects
maybe
are. I don't
70s
know, man.
Budget or whatever.
No, it was an 80s movie.
80s budget,
but
not
no,
budget.
That fly, like the Brundle fly, is top notch. Like it is insanely well done, and all of the makeup that Goldblum had to do with his balls falling off, and it's. I'm not making that up.
But
that's actually happened in
this,
that movie.
This, she's walking backwards. It's so unnerving. The shoulders are dislocated backwards. The fingers are like, you know what I mean? The woman is backwards.
Yeah.
This thing's demon face is the back of her head, and she's walking backwards as this thing is moving in this unnatural way. It's so unnerving. The deaths are gruesome.
I did not like the scene in the bullpen. In the police bullpen, because it just felt very like I didn't think the CG was very good. I thought like the demon thing. This so we should basically what happens
when
is
he throws that chair.
I mean, that was cool.
I mean,
that was
fine. Hilarious.
But I mean, like this.
Didn't you hear Jim Ross like going off in your head?
No,
like,
I did not.
I mean,
ding
oh,
ding.
Hit him
by
with
the way,
chair. No,
that was on you. I didn't bring that up. The chair was the only thing in the whole movie where I was like, okay, that was funny.
Yeah, it was hilarious. See, Tom hated it and even laughed. Like, that moment
no, but, like,
when it throws the chair across the room and hits the detective.
Both of them.
Like,
both of them.
But it hits her in the head mainly.
Yeah, like, it knocks them both down.
Yeah,
but
hilarious.
I did like that. Like, he gets his arm stuck in a chair and they break his arm. There's a lot of rubbery CGI in this, in the bullpen with the cops.
I liked it because it was just so crazy.
This thing
goes to the police station and takes out the entire police
station.
Breaks
out. Like, breaks out of the... Like,
well, yeah, but I mean, like, it... Yeah. But yeah, but goes
kills,
out into
kills
the,
all of them.
All of them.
All
the
I could think.
Station,
all I could
done.
Think of was Return of the Living Dead Part 2, where like the zombie gets on the radio and just says like, yeah. "Send more brains" or "Send more cops" or whatever.
And the entire time, Maddie's face is on the back of this thing's head.
Yeah.
You see her. You see Maddie in this comatose, like you know, just her face there, static. It looks.
It's
disturbing.
Unnerving. It's very unnerving.
Yeah.
To me, it was just. Dumb.
I didn't. I
wasn't unnerved at all. I was. Just like,
I thought
this
the. I thought the makeup
looking.
And everything that was done was unnerving. And
that
I think.
Really
and good. I think Cronenberg. We've talked about him briefly, but like if you've ever seen Videodrome with James Woods, before he went off the
we
rails.
Don't mention him.
Yeah, I'm sorry. J Dubs, I guess.
That's yeah, right.
Ooh, piece of candy. Is like. So he did that, and I think he did one called Rabid. And he did like he was way into body horror.
Yeah.
Like that's what he was. That's what he was known for. And his body horror was grotesque. Like there are things in Videodrome. Like James,
have you seen his son's movie? I haven't seen it.
No, I
want to see it. I heard it's insane.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's a scene in
there's like an unrated cut that wasn't in theaters even, or maybe you could have seen it in theaters, but I heard it's like
really
absolutely insane.
All right. There's a scene in Videodrome where J Dubs has like a cancer gun for an arm and he shoots a guy and like it's you've seen this clip like the clip is pretty famous but like that's where we're at here this creature is like snapping arms and gouging out eyeballs and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Then we find out that adopted sister is going to the hospital where this woman is, this Jane Doe that we have been cured, you know, we don't know anything about. It turns out this is Maddie's mom. This is Maddie's real life mom that gave her up for adoption. We should also say we get to see the doctors take this thing off of Maddie. Like they cut it off.
They
of
go
her,
back to Spookyville
and then
in the
they
videos.
Take the piece of the brain and shove it into the.
So this parasitic twin, which we, you know, is the big reveal, this demon like looking creature was like, you know, two embryos and one absorbed the other. And this is a real thing, like Tom said.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Minus the electrical telekinesis and spooky abilities, but this can happen. And so this thing was causing all this trouble. So obviously it was like not just a small, like this thing's killing people and attacking people. And so they want to remove it from Maddie, but it shares the same brain. So it's not like just an arm growing out of her back. It's
correct.
Like this thing is backed up to
her
brain.
If we cut this thing, if we kill this thing, we're going to kill Maddie.
If we completely remove the whole thing.
Right.
So like, well, we removed everything as far as like the arms and most of the body that was hanging off of her, but we have to leave the face that we see, quote unquote, the face, the demon face, because it's backing up to her brain. And that's where they control each other.
Right.
That's where the mind control comes in, is they share that.
And we find out that it was the husband throwing her into the wall that has
like reignited,
cracked,
like opened
it, cracked
the,
it open.
Yeah. It was sealed in her,
skull.
Yeah.
And then we also find out that creepy Gabriel has been eating her babies.
That's why she had three miscarriages.
Yeah, because it's like the sister's like, he's been feeding on your fetuses. I was like, that's a line I never thought I would hear in a movie. I got to tell you, if mother has taught me anything, baby eating, didn't think that was going to happen.
Yeah,
maybe in a Cannibal Corpse song.
Maybe it's correct. Yeah, right. Yeah. Cannibal Holocaust. Maybe, you know, the Green Inferno. I don't know.
I liked the feeding on the babies part because in my head it was like, oh, she's having these miscarriages because the husband keeps... abusing.
That's what I thought.
And so the reveal actually made
sense.
So I like
that.
Yeah.
It was that the miscarriages were caused by Gabriel.
So the best part of the movie is dead babies.
Dead babies.
Yeah.
Come
at least nobody ate them.
We've made it full circle.
Nobody ate them.
Come back to another dead baby.
That's how you get a good movie. She should have ate one of those dead babies.
I think
you didn't like Mother, did you?
No.
Yeah.
I thought I think this movie has a lot of, I want to say surprises, but again, it's not just the twist. It's how they reveal these things and how misleading it is with the red herrings, where you think it's going one way because we've seen it before, and then they do this bonkers reveal and bonkers showdown, which, you know, so they go to the hospital. The detectives have kind of figured it out at the same time as the sister.
Right.
And she goes and finds the cops. She's like, going to the hospital. We know. And they all go there.
And the creature's already there. Like, it gets there first. And
well, I think the sister's there because, remember, she finds – they go and kill, quote-unquote, the sister. So she's got to already be there, right?
No, the sister gets there first.
Yeah,
the sister gets because the sister gets there, and then the demon gets there because that in a very cool effect, like the guard's pacemaker explodes, right?
Yeah, which
and
is another clever thing. I was like, oh, it controls cool. the electrical like, things, the pacemaker.
I'm with it. Like, that was all right. So
she goes in there and flips a hospital bed on top of the sister,
right?
Pins her down,
says,
and then
I'm going to make you watch, or you know, talking to the mom. Like the creature at this point is talking.
Well,
to,
it saves the mom for last.
Yeah, she's like, I want you to see all this. And what we think, this is where we get the reveal of the eating of the babies, and Maddie starts to take over. Like, Maddie realizes, oh, if this is my body, like I can control this. Then we think that this creature blows the sister's brains out.
I guess it takes the security guard's gun.
Yeah, and shoots the sister in the head,
head. And then it goes to the mom.
And then we find out that it's not. Like, Maddie's like, anything you can do, I can do better. Yeah. And then we find out that
the
demon
is where you get the allegory
in.
Where she's like, it was always my body, my choice. And so you get that. Again, I think with the
women writers,
I think that they're putting that in there and making a statement.
I got to tell you, in the current climate we're in,
and
I
this
totally
was,
get it.
This was... made this was in production 2 years ago
really?
But now more than ever they couldn't have timed that better. Not saying it's a good thing, but to make a statement about this type of stuff now, it's like, wow,
it's a very good thing. So then Maddie,
but not saying like, oh, how cute that this movie came out, like, you
know, it's a terrible thing
to have to deal with, but the fact that it released right around when this crazy
stupid
stuff,
Texas sorry if we have any viewers and listeners in Texas.
They're not stupid.
If you listen to this show, we're on the same page. Yeah, so Maddie like locks the Gabriel into a jail cell in the brain, and kind of says, he's like, I'll get out, and she was like, yeah, cool.
It's Phantom Zone, right?
It's the Phantom Zone. Yeah, release me.
But they've done that before in movies where you're locked away in a cell of your own mind.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
A total maybe the cell.
is that in somebody's mind?
Yeah,
is the cell in somebody's mind?
Well, they're tapped in. J-Lo goes into the machine or whatever, and.
Did you ever think in a million years that we'd be dealing with Bennifer 2.0?
You know, they both look really happy, which is great.
Totally
when
fine.
When you see Bennifer 20 years ago, you see how douchey and smarmy Ben Affleck looked. Like, yeah, I'm hot stuff, whatever. And now you see how humble he looks and
Affleck,
happy.
He was like, man, I was Batman. I had to go back to rehab because of that movie.
But like, I just like how when you see them now, they both look so happy. Where before it was like young, hot actors that are just like, don't get me wrong. They are hot stuff.
Right.
Like, they're cool.
Yeah,
but,
they're middle-aged hot actors.
They have like a...
J-Lo looks like she's still 20.
Well, yeah, but I just mean like they have like the experience behind them. You can just tell like
They've been through some stuff.
They're humbled. It's cool looking. Yeah.
I don't know if they're humbled, but they've been through some stuff.
But not humble as in like totally humble. I just mean like by their experiences, they've been through it.
Right.
That will humble you a bit. Where it's
that's
like,
fair.
You know,
that's fair.
I've seen it.
Yeah. He basically says, I'll get out of here. And she was like, I'll see you in the sequel.
I'll be ready. Yeah.
And that's kind of how this ends. Like, I think James Wan is a brilliant filmmaker. I think he has done some amazing stuff. This just wasn't one of it. It didn't work for me. There were some, there are some great scenes.
I didn't like the ending when it's like, we won the day. and I'm like, you still killed like 100
people. I
got
to tell
you,
there's a jail cell full of dead people and a police station full of dead people.
And you did it. You did
whether
it.
Whether you had a demon in your brain or not.
Yeah, it's a very complicated scenario to figure
out. It's not as bad as Don't See 2, but still, we've got to explain this away.
No, I mean, I could definitely see that. But, you know, that these movies, all these horror movies, when the body counts are racking up and all that, I mean... People are responsible in different ways.
I think that's why the best ones work on like the smaller scale.
Yeah.
Right. Like even Halloween, you only have four bodies.
You see that article?
Which one? About the new one?
Owen Gleiberman for Variety wrote the review of the new one. It was a negative review. So whatever. That's what it is.
I don't care.
But he says, Well, the original Halloween was just a knockoff of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but, you know, that's just a whole statement of horror
what?
At that time. Yeah, go look into it, but it was like, what? No one's ever made that. What are you? Have you seen these movies? It was just so
it's
stupid.
Like, that is why Hollywood journalism drives me batty. Because they're not even the same.
It's like
totally
no one's ever
movies.
Made that comparison.
No.
And no
you
means
know what?
It a knockout.
They're in the same genre. Yeah. There you go. Like, there's your, that's as close as you can get.
Well, that's what I said. You probably saw my tweet. I'm like, well, to be fair, Halloween and Texas Chainsaw Massacre are both horror movies. Yeah. It's like, yeah, good one.
Good Lord. What a dope.
Anyway.
He literally has not had a miss his entire, almost, like, from Saw. Like, yeah. James Wan has not missed. And I'm not going to call this one a miss. This is like a foul ball that didn't get caught. You know? Like, he still got an extra strike, but this one just did not work.
Well, this is
like,
his movie. I mean, no matter what
totally
you think of the movie,
like,
James Wan isn't taking any crap for this. I mean, he wanted to make this movie. Yeah. I don't think you can be like, oh, he doesn't have it anymore.
No, it's no,
like,
no. I definitely
this movie
don't
was
think
the
that.
Catering budget on Fast and Furious.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
no,
yeah,
I think he has sealed his blank check, if you will. Yeah.
This is what it is.
This is you are exactly
this
right.
Is
this is
check.
The blank yeah. check, and I think
they
this
go,
one,
how much do we make on Aquaman?
Yeah.
How much do we make on Conjuring? Like, yeah, you want to do this?
I think this one.
Thing?
I think this one bounced. Everything
okay,
else
fair
cleared
enough.
For me. Like yeah. there are some good spots.
Yeah.
I think the last third is just insane, and I think the opening scene in the house I think is really well done as a testament to what he can do with sound.
That's fine.
And stuff.
You don't like Suspiria. You don't like this. Internet. Internet, go on the record. Joe doesn't like Suspiria or Malignant. So
or
I'm
Blade Runner.
And Joe is canceled.
Yeah, I know. Damn it.
Well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And of course, don't forget our Patreon, Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Do we know what next week is?
I have no idea.
Crap. No, I can't think of it.
Okay. It'll be something. So
have no fear.
Yes. Oh, Underdog. Cool.
Yeah. Is it?
No.
No, that's
what have no fear.
That's what Underdog would
I know,
say.
But no is fear. It cool, though?
Underdog is cool. So anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Thad stabbed Stark with a pencil.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.